That's our family dog, Tucker. He was my inspiration of sorts for the message this morning. He thinks he's a person. I think he was watching the sunrise sitting on the back porch. I'm not sure. Tucker is also my personal therapy dog. I want to make sure that I, as much of a animal person as I am, I've had a dog growing up all my life. I think dogs are wonderful, and I don't want anybody to mistake the fact that I put that in perspective of where animals fall in life. So by no means am I making any comparisons to pets and how they fit into our lives and how God fits into our lives. But that being said, I do realize the importance of the love that a dog brings in your life. They don't know they're doing it. I don't think they understand the concept personally. But the reason he was my inspiration is we were sitting on the back porch and I was talking to Niece and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to talk about today. And the dog walked by. And I said, I should do a message about Tucker. Just being a little bit humorous, being funny. And she laughed and she said, yeah, right. And I was like, and I thought about it for a minute. I go, no, I'm not going to do a message about Tucker, but I'm going to do a message about something he just made me think about. And that was unconditional love. This probably be potentially one of the last times I get up here. And I wanted to talk about something I think I've actually talked about before. But I feel it's very vital to us as Christians. I think it plays such an important role in our lives that I wanted to talk about it again. The unconditional love that God shows us and the forgiveness that he shows us, I think, is really what it's all about being a Christian. We've had Tucker probably about, 4 years, I think, now. We brought him home as a rescue. He was a few years old when we got him, brought him home. That dog still jumps up and down and wags his tail every time I walk through the door. I often joke with Denise, which, by the way, I was going to throw a few zingers her way this morning, but I forgot to say something to Bill. Please keep my father-in-law. Her dad was admitted to the hospital last night, and so she's there with him this morning. We don't think it's anything too serious, but just please keep Ammon, her father, in your prayers. But that being said, I was going to throw a few zingers because she said, well, you're going to be talking about unconditional love. She goes, are you going to talk about me at all? She often kids me about the fact that I've got more pictures of Tucker on my phone than I do of the family. She's probably right, if I were to be honest. But I wanted to be careful about when I talked about that, and I jokingly said, Tucker doesn't know any better. I could have a bad day, I could be mean to Tucker, not that I ever would, but I could, and he'd still wag his tail when I got home. The emotion of love, I think, is something that would escape. It's just conditioning, because if I were petting him and he was jumping up and down all excited, if Denise were to go into the snack jar and get a treat out, he would immediately run away and go to Denise. So it's all conditioned response. But I truly do think that Tucker enjoys us. Where I was going with that is, and before I get into the lesson this morning, is there is conditions in the human love. Not to say necessarily that Denise would stop loving me. She may continue to love me if I did something bad enough. If I completely screwed up. So there are conditions, I think. And I just really wanted to put it in perspective that when we talk about God, to realize how meaningful that is, the degree that he loves us. Pray with me, please. Father, as we go into this morning's lesson, and I talk about your love for us, and I talk about your ability for forgiveness, Father, I ask your blessing upon these words that I might share something meaningful and helpful as we go through our daily walks in this worldly life. In your name we pray. Amen. So as I was saying, God's love is, I think, one of the most important, most vital things to us as Christians. I think it guides us. I think it shapes us. The fact that we know that we have that love to rely on, to fall back on. This morning's scripture reading from Psalm, and you know, I keep going back when I'm looking at things to talk about and things to share when I get up here. Psalm is just so, and I realize that it's song-based, it's poetic-based, and it really does come across that way. But when I came across this scripture, when I was looking at examples of God's love, this to me just painted a picture. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. That just, to me, when I saw that scripture and I read that scripture, that really put into perspective what I wanted to talk about this morning, which is why I picked it as the main scripture for this morning. You know, all enveloping, all encompassing, it's just surrounding us. It's just like when you were a kid and something bad happened in your life and you went to your mother or your father. In my case, it was the mother. I think for a lot of us in that generation, probably was more the mother. And she put her arms around you. And how it made you feel safe again, secure. That's what I pictured. I pictured God's arms around me. And it really just, again, spoke volumes to me. And Psalm has a wonderful way of just putting words out that really make you, they make you feel what you're reading. I want to look at a couple parables this morning that talk about this subject. The last few times I was up here and I talked about parables, I thought I'd kind of maybe stay a little bit in that same realm and use a couple parables that I think were good examples of what we're talking about today. So here we're talking about the prodigal son, parable many of us are familiar with, Luke 15, 11 through 32. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. A couple takeaways from that. One, of course, is God's undying love for us. You know, we as Christians, we get the rewards, we get the gifts that God gives us. We have all that in front of us. It sets the tones for our lives. But then we make a mistake, go down a different path, go down a different road, and stray from God, as his first son did here. But really what this illustrated to me is I could squander everything, give it all up, forsake God, walk away from it, as he did in this parable. And yet, when I was prepared to come back to God, admit my mistakes, ask for forgiveness, not a moment's hesitation on God's part. As with the father to the son in this parable, that's how God is with us. The one thing I also thought about when I read this parable, and I thought about this when I was talking about Tucker, and I was talking about my wife, do we sometimes take advantage of this? I hate to say I think I do in many cases. You know, when we look at, oh, I can have a bad day and maybe say some things to my wife that I shouldn't say, I know she'll forgive me. Maybe, in some examples, in a relationship, whether it be a husband or wife, not to pick on one or the other, that spouse may be very forgiving, and we take advantage of that, doing things that we know we shouldn't do, knowing that he or she will take us back, will forgive us. I really thought long and hard about that when I read this parable and I started thinking about God's forgiveness and God's love for us. And I think it is a danger in our lives as Christians, at least in mine. I know I'm guilty of it. I think it's hard not to know that we have such a forgiving God and say, he'll forgive me. I don't know if it's designed that way to test our faith, to strengthen our faith. I'm not sure. But it's something to think about, because I think it really is a danger in our lives as Christians that we sometimes take advantage of how loving and forgiving our Father is. Matthew 18:10-14, prodigal of the lost sheep. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. The one thing that this made me think about that I didn't share from the parable of the prodigal son, but also made me think about after the fact and tie together, jealousy, hatred. The second son, when the prodigal son was angry that the father forgave his other son and took him back. Here there is reference to that same pettiness. Speaking of not being angry, not holding it against them. In this parable, the importance of one soul, of one life to God, was stressed. The fact that he could have a kingdom full of his believers, and that he would still worry about one person straying away and being available to that one soul and that one person and want to bring that one person back into his kingdom. I think that speaks volumes again. The sheep in this parable strayed, just like many times as Christians we do in our lives. But he's there for us always. I worried about the other thing that I took away from these parables was, do I ever find myself being petty and jealous in this scenario? If I spend my life as a Christian doing the right thing, or trying to do the right thing at least, I know I don't always. If I find myself maybe doing something different or taking a different approach than maybe I normally would have, let's face it, in all honesty, maybe something that would have been more fun or more enjoyable. And then I read these parables and I think about it, and it references it in these parables. It tells us about it. It talks to the pettiness, the jealousness, the jealousy that we experience. I mean, don't we sometimes look at someone else and say, well, what's he doing here? Or, I thought he left the church, or I thought he went to jail, or I thought, you know, he was using drugs again. That's a dangerous slope to go down when we read these parables and we read many scriptures where God references the fact that that's not for us to worry about. Essentially, it's what he's saying. That's for him to worry about. So sometimes I've done that in my life, and I think I've gotten to a pretty good place in life now when it comes to that subject. But again, be aware of that danger that it doesn't matter if someone made a mistake. It doesn't matter if someone made 10 mistakes. If they truly want to come back to the Lord, he wants them back. It's not for us to judge or determine. Again, that's just one of those things in life as a Christian that it's hard sometimes to let go of that feeling of, well, I've been doing the right thing for all these years. How does he get off so easy? It's food for thought. As I'm winding down here, there's just a couple scriptures that I came across speaking of that undying love, that forgiveness. We compare it to, again, I like to compare to things in daily lives, in our personal lives on earth, just because it helps me put things in perspective. When we think about that spouse, that husband, that wife, that father, that mother, that grandparent, their love for us, their forgiving us, their forgiveness for us. And how wonderful that can be in life to have that on this earth. But it pales in comparison to what awaits us and what is available to us if we receive Christ in our lives and we go to God. His love and his forgiveness, that his level, that level we're talking about, is makes any love that you experience on this earth, in my opinion, pale in comparison. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. I think this really says a lot in the fact that it tells us that it's where it all starts. Have you ever seen maybe a friend in your life, a coworker that doesn't have God in their life? Something's just not quite there. They may have a good relationship outwardly with their spouse, with their children. But I always sense there's that different level. Because if we truly accept this, what this scripture tells us, That's a different level of love that we're receiving once we receive God in our lives. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Turn it back around. You've got to have that love in your life. If you let that go, if that escapes you, you're never going to truly know God, in my opinion. In 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Such a short verse. But how powerful is that? That's one of those ones you can put up on the refrigerator, in my opinion. It's one of those ones, you know, that's the bumper sticker right there. We love because he first loved us. The capacity for love is greatly enhanced, in my opinion, when you have God in your life. And I think that says it all, and that really sums it up. In closing this morning, I know it's old school, but when we're talking about God's love, how do you not reference this scripture? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that truly says it all. Because of that love, we have the opportunity, even when we screw up, even when we make a mistake, to not perish and to have eternal life. So with that, hopefully we take a walk this week, a walk with God, and hopefully something I share with you this morning makes some sense and helps you in your daily life. Please come forward this morning as we stand and sing if you have any needs as a church, if there's anything that we can help you with. Thank you.